Amen. How many guys were here last week? We were swabbing the deck. Remember last week we saw the unfortunate trend, at least that I've noticed, that even of us early whistleblowers on the COVID pandemic and the COVID pandemic death shots, that unfortunately people are moving on. They're moving on to different news cycles. They're moving on to, got to talk about Ukraine or Russia, and of course Israel and the Hamas, and now Iran's in the mix, and then it's the Trump issue, and the election, the Trump cases, and all that stuff. And those are, again, noteworthy and newsworthy, but again, the problem is it's given the impression that everybody's talking about that, and they've dropped the COVID stuff like a hot rock. It's given the impression that we're free and clear. No, we're not. As we saw last week, people are still dying like flies. We still haven't seen the last of it. And it isn't just this killing people. It's genetically modifying people against their will. Been waiting to share this. It's about 2 weeks old. Tucker Carlson on his new network. You wonder why they dumped him on Fox. Watch what he shares from the Surgeon General of Florida. At least he had the guts to tell the truth. Watch this.
Very few public health officials in this country seem very interested in public health, in case you haven't noticed. The Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Joseph Latipo, is an exception to that. He is interested in the health of the people of his state, and because he is, he's taken a close look at what's in the COVID vax, the one that everyone in the country was required to take not so long ago. And he's come up short. He can't answer some basic questions about it, and that's a concern if we're doing science, which he is. And so he has now called on doctors to immediately stop giving the mRNA COVID vax to their patients, and for a very interesting reason that you should know about. Here's his statement. We're quoting. I'm calling for a halt to the use of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have always played it fast and loose with COVID-19 vaccine safety. But their failure to test for DNA integration with the human genome, as their own guidelines dictate, when the vaccines are known to be contaminated with foreign DNA, is intolerable. Think about that. It's one thing if it gives you a heart attack. If it tampers with your DNA in some way, now we have a real problem, considering a billion people got it. So in a recent interview about the mRNA vaccines, the Surgeon General of Florida described them this way.
These vaccines have DNA in them. Everyone knows what DNA is. They're contaminated with DNA, and that's not necessarily a big deal. But it's a problem with these vaccines because the DNA hangs on with the mRNA and goes into people's cells. So this is a completely different risk analysis than other products that have had DNA. These vaccines are, honestly, they're the antichrist of all products.
The antichrist of all products. The Surgeon General of Florida joins us now to explain what he means. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. I remember at the beginning of the vax mandates, there were people on the fringes, as we say, who raised questions about the potential of this drug, this brand new, this novel vaccine, which wasn't really a vaccine, to affect people's DNA. And they were immediately described as crazy. Tell us your concerns, if you wouldn't mind fleshing out a little bit what we saw in that clip.
So it's actually very simple. We all know what DNA is. You know, this is our genetic blueprint, our gift from God. And this DNA can be affected, and that can be obviously a very bad thing. Sometimes it's affected in a way that makes people sick. Sometimes it can even be affected in a way that leaves people to pass on characteristics to their offspring.
Do you think it's conceivably possible that the mRNA vaccines change people's DNA, or could?
It's absolutely possible. I mean, I wouldn't have issued this call to halt their use if that wasn't possible. On a factual basis, it is absolutely possible. There's zero question about that. Now, the real question is whether it is happening, if it is happening, the degree to which it's happening, the location of affected cells, and the potential for that to cause whether it's cancer or heritable characteristics, or that is to say that is it affecting things like a woman's eggs or a man's sperm such that it could be passed on, or whatever else it potentially could be causing. But it absolutely is a possibility. There's zero question about that. The real question is whether it's a possibility worth investigating. The obvious answer is yes, even though the FDA and Peter Marks, wants you to believe that the answer is no.
Well, that would change humanity if that were happening forever.
And frankly, just considering the evil frequency from the beginning of this pandemic, the lockdowns, the forcing people to stay at home, the not having people, allowing people to say bye-bye to people they love, just all the horrific things, the firing of people who, stuck it out during the pandemic, but then passed on the vaccine after the vaccines were available. All the evil that has defined the frequency of policies during this pandemic, sadly, I mean, I hate that that is a possibility, but sadly, I would not be at all surprised. In fact, I think it's probably likely that that is in fact happening.
You think it's likely happening that humanity itself is being changed forever by this round of mRNA vaccines?
Yes, I do. I do.
You see my concern that a lot of us, even early whistleblowers on this, they're not talking about it anymore? I mean, that's between you and God, if that's you out there. This is what's going on, folks. It has never stopped. And the illusion is we made it free and clear. No, we didn't. It's not over. And I quote the Surgeon General of Florida, "Do you think it's likely happening that humanity itself is being changed forever by this round of mRNA vaccines?" Yes, yes, I do. Can I translate that for you? This is not a conspiracy theory. The two sides of what these guys did, their wicked agenda was, one, the COVID pandemic death shot was a short and long-term plan to depopulate the planet. But the other half is to reset humanity into their new utopia, their transhumanists, into a post-human society. As crazy as it sounds. And so according to these guys, they already got 1 billion people started. This is sick, folks. It's satanic. We have to deal with this. And I hope other people kickstart it again and start talking about this, because we are far from over. And the goal that they want all this sicko stuff in place is 2030. They ain't stopping, folks. Don't get distracted by squirrel and talk about other things. I'm not saying don't talk about them, but come on, don't drop this. This has never stopped. That's my concern. And that's why, folks, we've been, again, Schwabbing the deck. We're dealing with this guy the last 19 times. Who's counting? I am, John. Thank you for asking. And what we're doing is the large chunk of this mass murder, sick, transhumanist behavior is coming from this guy, Klaus Schwab, okay? And he's basically, call it whatever you want, he's basically what, and this is why we're dealing with it as Christians, because it's a Bible prophecy issue. He's basically building with his cronies, he's building the Antichrist kingdom, okay? And where are you getting his ideas from? He's getting them from Hitler. He grew up in Hitler's world. We did the research. That's his dad on the right. He was buddies with Hitler. He grew up in a company that his dad owned and ran and was a model company for the Nazis. This is where he's getting these ideas from, including this Holocaust, this eugenics program on steroids, changing people against their will. This came straight out of Hitler, okay? Now, again, and he admits that what was the trigger to start this? They've had this. They've been working on the plan for a long time there. What was it? What was the trigger? The pandemic. He admits it. He still says it to this day. It was a great thing. Why? Because it gives them the opportunity to what? Reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. It's not just an economic reset. It's a human reset. Okay? This is what's going on. Okay? Now, for proof of that, we've been taking a look at a bunch of different angles from that. Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. It's not done. It's still going on. Klaus Schwab and the murderer's motive. We're just a bunch of useless people. They say, they can't do that to people. That's a violation of their human rights. They don't care. This is how they look at us, is what Hitler did, same thing. They're controlling the global food supply. We're going to get that in great detail, Lord willing, tonight. Global food murders, they're putting stuff in our food supply to either kill us or make us dumb and docile. We saw that. Genetic food murders, in case you didn't get that jab, they're starting to put it in the plants and the meat and things of that nature. So that's why we started Clean Meat Co-op. Genetic altering technology, there ain't just one. mRNA is just one technology. You got CRISPR, you got other technologies that they're already using on all of life. They even admit it's going to lead to a genetic altering apocalypse, but hey, who cares? They're playing God anyway. They're the new gods of the planets. Then we saw the genetic altering of humans. They're not just doing this to plants and animals all of insects, you name it. They're doing it to humans, not coming, it's already being done. Then we saw they're actually mixing us with animals, creating chimeras. They're also copying humans for some sicko reasons. Also, we're going to see a little bit of this tonight, cyborg humans. They want to combine man with machine for total control and remote control humans. They're producing all over the world, every major developed country, genetic super soldiers, okay? And then they got transhumanist plans for you and I, whether we want them or not. They have transhumanist methods, whether you and I want them or not. And then why are they doing this? Because they're sick and satanic, and we trace the trail, folks. These guys are involved in the occult. This is where they're getting. They're working for Satan. They're in with Satan, and they're haters of God. Romans chapter 1, it's not by chance. And then the last two times, we're showing the deliberate destruction. And the reason why is because it's common sense. No normal person, when you find out what we've been discovering, when you find out this sick utopia that these guys are building for the planet, you can call it the Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution, whatever you want. It really is the rise of the Fourth Reich. It's the Antichrist kingdom. God warns about it. He's been warned about it for 2,000 years. When you find out about this, no normal person is going to go along with this, right? So what do? Well, they do what they always do. Create a crisis, you manage the outcome. Order out of chaos. Never let a good crisis go to waste. They're going to currently, on purpose, destroy and crash our existing system and way of life, including economy, and then they're going to ride in as a savior, and they're going to replace it with this great reset, this satanic one. And they're doing it with lies and deceit, which we already saw is exactly what the Bible says the Antichrist will do when it's time to build his kingdom for the seven-year tribulation. And again, if you're thinking Klaus and the gang, they're really not behind this global takeover, this genetic utopia, this great reset. Listen to how, folks. Listen to how. I got this on tape. Klaus Schwab is bragging because he formed the World Economic Forum in 1971. And ever since 1971, he's been training what's called young global leaders. Basically, I call them his Nazi agents, SS agents. He's been training them since 1971, and he's been infiltrating every major developed country with him. Okay? Now, again, that's not a conspiracy theory. He even admits it, almost gleefully, that they penetrated all governments of the world. Now, listen to some of the big names that he mentions came out of his training camp. Watch this. This is on tape.
When I mention our names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I would know that half of this cabinet, or even more half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
On tape. Evil likes to brag. Amen. These people tell you exactly what they're doing, but most people are, hey, look at that over there. You wonder why Canada's dealing with what you're dealing with? What do you just say? Your government has been infiltrated by Klaus and the gang. And it's not just Canada, it's us. In every major development. Did you notice even Vladimir Putin? Oh, yeah. Angela Merkel from Germany. Mm-hmm. This is the plan. It's not a conspiracy theory, folks. This is what's going on around the world. And you wonder why everybody around the country, every single major developed country, acted in perfect lock and step in the pandemic. Because all the people were already in place. They needed a trigger event, the pandemic. Let's put it into play. We're going to get her done by 2030. This is the plan. This is what they're doing. And that would include the help with this guy. So we saw last time, he's been going to the World Economic Forum for a long time, even while he was a senator. Joe Biden, folks, he was handpicked by Klaus for such a time as this. Why? Because he's here to deliberately destroy the American economy. As we saw last time, why? Because what is the backbone of the global economy? The dollar. That's us. So if you're going to reset the global economy, right? Remember, there's two sides to the Great Reset. Economic reset, human reset. But the economic reset, if you're going to switch it to a cashless mark of the beast type society, then the current one has to go. That's us. That's why Biden was brought in. And again, this is the illusion. A lot of people think, man, he's just making a bunch of dumb decisions, right? And that's why we see, you know, as we saw last time, the acronyms like this, right? And granted, I think there's some truth to that, right? But that's the illusion. It's not just that, right? And it's not just people come up with, they think, man, he's just dumb. He's just making these dumb decisions. It's not just that they're coming up with these acronyms. They're coming up with videos like this. I don't know if you've seen this one. Watch this. This is Very profound.
For God so loved him. You know the thing. That he gave his only... Anyway, let he who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600,000,000,660,000,660,000,000,006. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was true to national depression. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. End of quote. Repeat the line. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Believe me, I was there. I used to drive an 18-wheeler through the Garden of Eden. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you dog-faced pony soldiers. He had reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. And then he said, listen, fat. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Mexico. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then you ain't black. Let the little children come unto me, because when I got hairy legs, it turned blonde in the sun. Kids used to come up and reach into the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and watch the hair come back up again.
Man, that would be funny if what? It weren't so true. And that, see, that's the deal. I bring that up because they're all over the place. And a lot of people, that's just unfortunately where they only landed. I mean, there is truth to that. The guy, I think he's just a puppet. Right? Personally. Right? And there is truth to it. Man, this guy, what is he doing? But here's the illusion. You see, he's not just making dumb decisions. Listen, he's making deliberate decisions. This is why he was brought in by Klaus Schwab to destroy our economy. Now, last time we saw that in two ways, just to recap, to destroy the oil and the energy. In fact, we saw that was the very first thing he did first day in office, and it's gone downhill ever since. A complete deliberate attack on fossil fuels specifically. Why? Because any economy, not just ours, any economy, if you're going to thrive as an economy, you need access to cheap fuel, right? And so that's why he began to attack that, including other sources of cheap fuel like coal, closing the plants and things of that nature. And this is all while he's gotten into office. He has not messed around. Okay, and then on top of that, he says, oh, but don't worry, we're going to the green energy, which we exposed last time. That is only 2% of the world's energy. There's no infrastructure. The whole thing will crash if you try to put it on that back, and it's never going to come online soon enough. It can't work. It will never work. It's a joke. It's a lie, right? They're doing it to crash the system. And then we saw on top of that, then there's some strange attacks on our infrastructure, right? And things are blowing up. And we're going to see that tonight with the food supply. And then on top of that, he's taking our oil reserves and he's selling them off to guess who? China, right? And guess whose company is making the transactions to sell the oil reserves to China? Hunter. They're making it's a crime syndicate, folks, his family. And then he refuses to replenish the oil reserves. Right? Citing that, well, the price is too high. Well, duh, who do you think got them so high? Right? But this is being done deliberately. Why? Because they know you start first with the oil and the energy, what will it do next? It will start to dismantle and destroy your economy. And that's exactly what we saw. Same thing. Biden comes in, he starts doing this. Sure enough, it doesn't take long. Inflation goes through the roof. We did the comparison. It's gone through the roof ever since he took office. And then sure enough, what's it going to do? It's going to destroy not only our economy. When you attack the energy sector, it's going to go around the globe. It's leading towards a financial crisis, which is exactly what they want. And then to further make things worse on the American dollar, Russia and China announced a new currency, a global currency. Why? Because Biden's policies were so obtuse historically, so over the top, it's forcing them to dump the dollar. And now other countries are jumping on the bandwagon. That's further going to destroy our economy. And then so what's going to happen when it all falls apart? This is the new digital revolution that we saw last time on tape, Biden speaking about at the World Economic Forum, is going to be put into play. That's why 2 years ago, he already signed the executive order to go to a digital dollar, also known as Biden bucks. It's all part of the plan, okay? And the Bible is, this is why we're doing it. Folks, the Bible, you can call it the Great Reset, again, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. You could say this or that or whatever. What this is these guys are all working together to build the Antichrist kingdom. And once it gets there, basically in place, they're going to hand the keys over to him and say, take over the world. It literally is happening before our very eyes. It's not a conspiracy theory, right? And I'll tell you what, when it comes to the Antichrist kingdom, God is very blunt in the scripture. You don't ever want to be a part of that. And the only way that can happen is you need to get saved right now and avoid the whole thing. Because the born-again Christians, we're going to be one nanosecond in that time frame, the seven-year tribulation, because we are saved from, rescued from, not appointed unto God's wrath. But the point is, God does not mince words when he talks about this Antichrist kingdom, right? It is you wouldn't want your worst enemy there. But let's take a look at that. That's Revelation 14. Let's take a look at our first of two texts that we're going to take a look at. Revelation 14, God is very blunt about, man, do not work with this guy. Revelation 13, at least four times says these people, unfortunately, they not only reject Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, that's why they're left behind. And now they got to deal with this, right? But it says there they worship the beast, they worship the beast, they worship the beast, they worship the beast. But on top of that, as we know, he's going to implement what's called the mark. And the Bible's very clear. God doesn't mince. Man, you take this mark. I mean, it's bad enough you rejected Jesus Christ and you're going to give your allegiance and worship this Antichrist, this false guy, this satanic guy. But then you're going to take his mark. You're doomed. You're doomed. It's over. There ain't no going back. And that's what we see here in Revelation 14, starting with the verse 6. And then I saw another angel flying in midair, but he had an eternal gospel to proclaim those who live on the earth to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. And the second angel fallen said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out in full strength in the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast or his image or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Wow, that's pretty intense, pretty blunt. This is God speaking here, folks. The last thing you ever want to do, I mean, first of all, your first biggest mistake was, why didn't you get saved today so you won't have to deal with this?
Amen.
Right? Join the rest of us at the rapture. But now you're in the seven-year tribulation, these people, and the last thing you want to do is take this mark of the beast thing. And it specifically calls it out in two places, right hand or the forehead. But you're going like, but man, we make mistakes all the time. Why is it that somebody, why is it so harsh here? Why is it seemingly harsh? Why is it that anybody that receives this mark of the beast, you're doomed. You go straight to hell. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200. There's no way out. You take the mark, you're going straight to hell. Why is their fate sealed? Well, as we saw before, it might have to do with that one option, the brain. You take the mark in your forehead, right? As we saw, these same people who are creating this Antichrist kingdom called the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, are also the biggest promoters of brain chips. We saw before, Klaus Schwab admitted on tape in 2017 to Sergey Brin at the World Economic Forum that we're all going to get brain chips, and with those brain chips, they'll be able to read our thoughts instantly on tape. And then now we have the help of another guy who works with these guys. He is no friend of Christianity. He is not a friend of freedom. His name is Elon Musk. As we saw before, Elon Musk is one of the biggest promoters of not just electric vehicles, of not just Starlink building a global matrix where everything's going to be connected to, but he just happens to be also, hey, let's start a brain chip company called Neuralink. And as crazy as you think, folks, as we, if you're hip to the news, that has already been approved for human trials, and they've already started. People are already getting the brain implants. This is no joke, just in time to meet the 2030 goal. Let's take a look at that.
Honestly, my mind is blown. I know this was coming, but actually when you read it first thing in the morning or you see it on X, you kind of think, wow, it's really happening. So, I mean, is this good or bad?
Well, I mean, hopefully it's a good a good development. And obviously, Elon Musk has always said he wants to develop these kind of technologies in a kind of safe and responsible way for humankind. So hopefully he's going to be true to that.
We're on the cusp of a complete paradigm shift. This type of technology has the potential to transform our treatments, not just for stroke and paralysis and degenerative disease, motor degenerative diseases, but also for pretty much every other type of brain disease, from Parkinson's to epilepsy to dementias, Alzheimer's, and even psychiatric disease. Seeing Neuralink and the other companies in this space start an industry around neuroengineering, brain-machine interfaces, neuroprosthetics, has been a tremendous amount of validation for neuroscientists and engineers who have been working in this space for decades.
So will this industry someday lead to the creation of cyborg humans with superhuman intelligence?
That's the plan, as we saw before. But hey, just because it got approved for FDA approval, start putting brain chips inside of people. Good thing that nobody's interested in it. Thousands of signups. People can't wait to get the brain chip. This is not science fiction, folks. This is happening while we're, what? How's it coming? This is all what's going on. And it's all part of the plan. Okay. And then we thought, well, okay, so they get a brain chip. Well, as we saw before, this technology, again, gives them the ability to access and monitor your thoughts with the help of AI. And it's not a conspiracy. We already dealt with that in some of our previous studies. And so now you come back to this question. Why is it that anyone who takes the mark of the beast, why are they doomed? Why can't they get saved? Why is it over? Well, if this is part of the technology, certainly the forehead part, the brain part, then these guys are going to be monitoring everybody's thoughts in real time on a massive scale. And the moment you think about God or Jesus Christ, your need for the gospel, bang, it's instantly deleted. Or gets flooded with music or other thoughts to distract you. You get zapped, and you'll never think about that again. Or, as we saw, they'll take control of your body like a remote control human, because that's the other aspect it'll do. And they will shut you down. Now, again, not saying that's the Lord, and there may be another reason why, because, again, Revelation 14, why are these people? Well, again, what was the other aspect? It wasn't just the head. It was the hand. And again, if this other technology that they're pushing, not just brain chips, but all this genetic modification technology, if this gets incorporated, not saying thus saith the Lord, but if it gets incorporated into the mark of the beast system, then maybe that's another reason why these people don't get saved, is because they're not human anymore. Jesus died for humans. Amen. You're not a human anymore. It's like the repeat of the days of Noah, when the sons of God, the fallen angels, went and cohabitated with the daughters of men and created a non-human called a Nephilim. And they all died in the flood. They got judged by God. So maybe that's what it is. And again, believe it or not, that is part of the plan. As we've seen before, Klaus Schwab isn't going to say, hey, we're going to repeat the days of Noah. Hey, we're going to turn you into a Nephilim. That's too obvious. So as we saw, what's the buzzwords? What do they call this? It's not just an economic reset, it's a human reset. Human 2.0, post-human species, and the third term, Klaus uses this all the time, is called augmented humanity. And this is straight from the World Economic Forum. You can see it. This is straight from their website. It's not a conspiracy theory. Augmented tech can change the way we live, but only with the right support and vision. Yeah, whose vision? And here on the World Economic Forum website, listen to what this is. Augmented technology, what is that? They're going to turn you into a non-human. That's all that means. Augmented technology has the ability to transform society and individual lives. Quote, implant technologies could become the norm in the future. Brain implants take us one step further and allow us to tap straight into the body's operating system. This is on their website, folks. And I quote, remember, it's the two places, forehead, hand, right hand. But brain implants may not be the first choice in our augmented society. An indispensable wearable device may be implanted under the skin if needed. Where do people wear wearables? Right here, in your wrists, by your hand. And superheroes have been dominating big and small screens for a while, so many children expect to develop superpowers themselves. These expectations may sound unattainable, but we're already making the first strides towards an, quote, augmented society. What's that? A society that you're no longer human. We're going to improve you. We're going to prove them what God did. We're going to use science and technology. We're going to give you an upgrade. We're not only going to upgrade the economy. We're going to upgrade humanity. It sounds sick, but that's what these guys are doing. Okay? In fact, here's how they pitch this new augmented humanity. Watch this.
With rapid advancements in technology, we are on the cusp of a new era of human development where people can enhance their physical, cognitive, and sensory abilities beyond what nature intended. The possibilities are both exciting and daunting. So, what is human augmentation? Human augmentation refers to the use of technology to enhance or expand the capabilities of human beings beyond their inherent biological limits. The concept of human augmentation has been explored extensively in science fiction and pop culture, with countless movies, books, video games, and TV shows featuring characters who have been enhanced with advanced technology or special abilities. These depictions reflect our fascination with the idea of transcending our physical and cognitive limitations, and perhaps an innate desire to be more than what we are. Today, human augmentation continues to rapidly evolve, with new technologies and innovations being developed and tested all the time. Some of the most promising areas of research include brain-computer interfaces, exoskeletons, and genetic engineering. Another area of research with great potential are the use of nanobots. These tiny machines, operating at the molecular or cellular level, have the ability to revolutionize medical treatments by delivering drugs precisely to diseased cells, repairing damaged tissues, and performing intricate surgeries. These technologies will continue to fundamentally reshape and augment humans and allow us to grow beyond our biological limitations. They will help us to free ourselves from diseases that have afflicted mankind since the dawn of time. They might even allow us to extend human lifespan or achieve immortality in the future. As we enter this brave new world, what will it mean to be human? And at what point do we stop being human altogether?
And that's the plan. Did you see how the nanotechnology, where did they inject it? And after they got done injecting it, there was like a mark there that kind of glowed and didn't go away. Interesting. Take your option. Want to be a part of Klaus's new society? The Bible calls the Antichrist kingdom. You want it in the head? Or do you want it in the hand? This is the only book on the planet that tells us exactly what we're dealing with here, folks. They are building the Antichrist kingdom. It is no joke. But let's talk about everything else. Because we made it. We're free and clear. No, we're not. It is in high gear. They are dead serious about getting this in play by 2030. It's not a joke, okay? And so here's the point. As unthinkable, evil, and satanic as that is, this guy right here was brought in to start the process to create the global meltdown, destroy our economy, to create a crisis so they could put all this into play. Not just an economic reset, but an augmented humanity, a post-human species, human 2.0. A human reset. Biden is handpicked by him. Now, that leads us to where we're at. He's here also to destroy the food and the commerce. Now, if you were last week, again, it's a slow, and in a lot of cases, a very quick destruction because they're on a time scale. And we saw that he's went immediately to the oil and the energy because knowing that's going to lead to the second step, it's going to start quickly destroying your finances and your economy. Okay. And that's exactly why we're seeing headlines like this. Industry and infrastructure collapsing by the day across Europe and the USA. And it's creating a global effect around the world. But notice what the headlines are starting to blend with. We know that oil and energy and prices and the economy and the inflation is going through the roof. But what's the spillover effect on that? It leads to headlines like this. Environmentalists want us to freeze, what? Starve or die. It spills over into the food sector, the thing that you and I need for survival. And by the way, if somebody controlled all of our food, that's a lot of leverage. And that's exactly what they're doing. Another headline, eat or heat. This is what's going on around the world. The prices are getting so high because you attack the energy. Now it's inflated everything that people are literally having to make a choice. Do I eat food or do I not freeze to death? Yep. This is what's going on. It's being done on purpose, folks. Okay, and it's going to further push us into accepting their solution called the Great Reset. Okay, and we all know this. We know that because this has gone on so long, this attack on the energy and the oil and the inflation, the economy, the finances, everything costs so much more. Everything, even fast food. Watch this.
consumers are getting a little salty about those fast food meals.
Since when is drive-through like a minimum of $30 for two people to eat?
New inflation data this week confirms that prices at fast food restaurants are on the rise. And consumers, well, they've taken note.
It's getting out of hand out here, bro. I'm going to have to just start eating ramen noodles like college again.
So why the price increases? In addition to pricier ingredients, labor costs have also been on the rise.
The prices are increasing at a rate that we haven't seen really in modern restaurant industry.
Now, so obviously the prices go up, the food goes up, and the companies just shove it our way. They're not going to take the hit completely. Are you kidding me? Not only that, what was the other thing that was adding to the strain? Labor. Right. Is anybody just putting out these ridiculous $20 an hour you got to pay somebody that works at McDonald's, with all due respect? You know what that's going to do? It's going to make things even worse. See, we thought it was just to help people. No, it's not. It's deliberately designed to destroy things. Right? And this is why we're starting to see headlines like this. Americans are skipping meals because they can't afford food. As when is all this taking place? This is just since Biden's come in, folks. It's happening that fast. As Biden's food inflation fiasco gets even worse. Americans shift food shopping to dollar stores, which, by the way, a lot of those are closing now. They're doing that on purpose because that was a way to get around. Well, now you can't do that anymore. As their last desperate strategy before mass famine and revolt. Quote, long lines are back at U.S. food banks as inflation's hit high, as you can see here. And then food banks all over the U.S. are overwhelmed as the cost of living pushes more people into poverty. And it's not just here, folks. It's happening all over the world. The attack on the oil and the energy messed up the finances, jacked up the inflation. Prices all across the board are going, including food, and this is what they're saying is coming next. Global food inflation is leading to a frightening explosion in global hunger. And this is the plan. And then on top of that, right? So you attack the infrastructure, the oil, and the energy because you know it's going to mess up the economy, which is going to mess up the finances, the inflation, which is going to cause everything, including food, to go through the roof. And then on top of that, for some strange reason, and this started when Biden got in office, have you noticed that the food processing plants have... Watch this. I'm going to show you just how bad it is, right? Watch this.
The winner of the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden, announced that along with record-setting inflation, a destroyed border, an impending war with Russia, the Afghanistan disaster, and his Nuremberg Code-violating pharmaceutical agenda, food shortages are the next phase of his Build Back Better plan. Take a look.
With regard to food shortages, yes, we did talk about food shortages.
Well, that definitely wasn't English. Let's hear more.
And it's going to be real.
It's going to be real. You heard it here, folks. Food shortages are coming your way. But why are there going to be food shortages? Well, always a stellar example of self-responsibility, Biden is blaming Russia for our upcoming food shortages. Once again, Hunter's dad is telling Americans it's Russia's fault. However, some dissidents who are unwilling to submit to our kaleidoscopy narrative believe the food shortages are being planned and deliberately caused in order to control people. But that is absolutely crazy talk. Those views should be immediately silenced because they're really quite dangerous and completely unfounded. How insane! You could deliberately create food shortages in the US? Like, to do that, you'd have to destroy a bunch of food processing plants, and nothing like that could ever happen. These nut jobs. This just in! In just the past few weeks, over a dozen food processing plants in the US have been destroyed through fires, explosions, and planes crashing into them. Huh. As we rework our narrative, here's Tucker Carlson with a ton of misinformation.
Just moments before we went to air tonight, a plane apparently crashed at a General Mills plant, a food plant in Covington, Georgia. Six tractor trailers were reportedly on fire. You're seeing pictures from the scene right now. This is the second time in a week that something like this has happened. On April 14th, the plane crashed into the Gem State Processing in East Idaho. What's going on here? Well, the story gets weirder. Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire. couple of days ago, a fire destroyed the headquarters of Azure Standard, one of the largest organic food distributors in the country. At the end of last month, a fire severely damaged a fresh onion packing facility in South Texas. In Oregon, a potato chip processing plant to support a boiler explosion that sent workers to the hospital. Now, what are the odds of that?
Well, it turns out the odds are 100% because it happened. But it's not what you think. As the most suspicious president in U.S. history warns of upcoming food shortages, and then multiple food processing plants are destroyed, this certainly isn't happening intentionally. It turns out the food facilities catching on fire, exploding, and having planes crash into them is being caused by climate change. How's that for a rewritten narrative? Next up, as food shortages are definitely not being deliberately caused, and we swear, this is just a coincidence, completely unrelated. We're happy to report that a narrative of an avian flu pandemic is causing millions of chickens and turkeys to be killed. What does that do to the food supply?
It makes it much worse.
Oh, that's interesting. An avian flu pandemic. That sounds just as scary as the one we've been trying to scare you to death over for the past 2 years. But this one is definitely severe, and they can tell, because they're detecting the avian flu using PCR tests. In spite of what the inventor of the PCR test says, you, as an obedient believer of our narrative, know how accurate they are at diagnosing viruses. Now, with a full explanation of what's going on with food processing plants being destroyed all over the place, and millions of poultry being killed due to a global chicken pandemic, here's your emperor.
And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
Whoops! Kind of sounded like he said, increase more rapidly food shortages, when he said, increase more rapidly food shortages.
Truth slips out every once in a while, doesn't it? No way this is by chance. Are you kidding me? Now, what I want to share with you folks, it's not just a dozen. I'm going to show you a map of all the food processing plants that have been burned down, blown up, or been destroyed under Biden. This was just from 2 months ago. It's going to start off with the U.S., and every single one of these little dots on there is a manufacturer of something we eat. Then it's going to go to the world. Watch this. Just since Biden got into office, the plan. Been a plan for a long time. And then on top of that, they're closing down food stores. And this is a new term. I never heard of this before. You ready for this one? The new term is, oh no, we're having a wave of food deserts. Yeah, watch this.
Kansas City grocery stores will be closing their doors. Here are the neighborhoods that those two are in.
And now some people say it may create a food desert.
Mm-hmm. Take a look. We want to show you the two stars you see. That is where the Apple Market and the Thriftway both were. Right there, the two circles.
Now take a look at the circles surrounding those stars, the red and the blue, a one-mile radius inside that circle, are the only three places people can get food.
41 Action News reporter Lisa Benson shows us how people in that area are now preparing.
Access to fresh food will become even more difficult in the coming weeks. Both the Plaza Apple Market on Cleaver 2 Boulevard and the Thriftway on 38th and Main are going out of business.
Kansas City, Missouri's food deserts currently are home to about 71,000 residents.
This is the USDA's food desert map of the Kansas City Metro.
Food desert map. So the prices going through the roof, the people who make the food, the processing plants are being blown up, burned up, destroyed, and now you're closing the stores to get the food, or what food's left, creating food deserts. And then on top of that, then we're seeing headlines like this. right? The farmers that are at least still able to farm, they're saying what? We can't harvest the crop because of what? The high fuel prices. Mm-hmm. It's just not economical. So now it's attacking what can be grown. And then on top of that, not just farmers who own the land, you got the United Gates of America going on. Bill Gates is buying up the farmland. And he's not the only one. But these same guys are buying up the farmland and just sitting on it? That's getting a little suspicious. And then what are they promoting? Their alternative food. Which, and I quote, Bill Gates, Sir Richard Branson, Hollywood actors, venture capitalists are all pushing lab-grown meat, as to, by the way, they're buying up the farmland, as the solution to world hunger. What do you know that we don't know? And environmental sustainability. But scientists last week told a panel of experts that they have serious concerns about the product safety, as we saw before in our earlier studies. This is the worst stuff you could ever eat. It gives you cancer. It's been generated from cancer cells. This is no joke. It's not a conspiracy theory. But they take away the food supply. Here comes your alternative, and that'll kill you. These guys are sick, folks. And it's not just Bill Gates who's buying up the farmland. Watch this. China. Corporate behemoths, foreign interests, eccentric billionaires are voraciously buying up farmland, and many consider this development extremely alarming. The farming industry is being systematically consolidated, and a lot of people have pointed out that some of the new owners may not have our best interests at heart. And I quote, Chinese companies are purchasing hundreds of acres of farmland. One of them just recently purchased hundreds in North Dakota, mere minutes from a U.S. Air Force base. So it's like, for $1.9 billion, it's the Chinese-based food producer Fufang Group. They plan on building a corn milling plant and its newly acquired land in Grand Forks. Listen, just 20 minutes down the road from Grand Forks Air Force Base, where, quote, some of the nation's most sensitive drone technology is used. And one guy says this, is it really wise to allow the Chinese to set up shop so close to a base being described as, listen to the importance of this base, the backbone of all U.S. military communications around the globe. And they're 20 minutes down the road, a Chinese corporation. This is what's going on. Since Biden got in, China Joe. On the farm side, we see China continuing to buy up more and more U.S. food supply chain. A country that's demonstrated they can't run a supply chain. Remember during the pandemic? Food supply, energy supply, pharmaceutical supply, these are all part of our national security. Quote, why would we allow something like this to happen? Because that's the plan. To add layer upon layer upon layer, and something's going to pop. The system's going to crash. That's the goal. And that's why Biden was brought in. Then on top of that, okay, the farmers, high fuel prices, but you go, okay, well, at least there's other farmers out there. Now they're taking away their farms. You know, in case you don't do what the government says. Or you don't line up with their new EPA rules. And all that stuff. And it's not just here in America. It's all over the world. 3,000 farms were closed in the Netherlands. You may not think much of that country, but it is one of the biggest exporters of food the planet relies upon. Watch this. This is not by chance. It's being done at the behest of the World Economic Forum. Watch this.
So the Netherlands has officially shut down 3,000 farms. This is in reaction to their mandate to reduce nitrogen emissions specifically by 2030 by 50%. This is both the EU and the WEF working together to help combat climate change. So if we look at how many people on average it feeds, we then need to actually look at how many of the 3,000 farms, each one of which is around 42 hectares, what do they produce? What are they exporting to the world? And what are they keeping to themselves? You have to keep in mind that when something gets shut down, an industry gets throttled, we have two sides of a coin. We have the exports going out to feed the world, but then we also have the population within Netherlands that was self-sustaining itself, maybe to a point on certain goods and services from an agricultural perspective, that no longer will be able to because they have a void in which they're not able to provide. So it's kind of a two-way street. Countries that may be concerned with this would be Germany, Belgium, France, and the UK. These are the top four countries that export things like the meat and the dairy from Netherlands. So you can expect your costs to go up because you're ultimately shutting down a massive part of that industry.
Unless you think this is not being done at the behest of Klaus and the gang, the Prime Minister of the Netherlands is also a cohort like Trudeau, Vladimir, Merkel, Biden, and he, I couldn't believe I came across this one, he admitted that the reason why they're closing down these farms is because it's not just going to radically limit people's ability to produce food, that's the plan, but it will give them, the World Economic Forum, the ability to come in and be the provider now of the food supply for the whole world. In fact, he calls them, watch this, World Economic Forum food hubs. You'll get your food from the World Economic Forum moving forward. Watch this, it's on tape.
So the role of businesses in the agri-food sector should be stimulated and able to create scalable solutions. And here I'd like to highlight a World Economic Forum initiative in this regard, the World Economic Forum Food Innovation Hubs. And these hubs in Africa, in Asia, in South America and in Europe will allow businesses to connect regional stakeholders to skill innovations, because this is key, skill innovations that can address food systems challenges. And here, I'm particularly proud to announce that the Netherlands will host the Global Coordinating Secretariat of the World Economic Forum Food Innovation Hubs, which will connect all other food innovation hubs. And I believe this is important because it will be facilitating to create the partnerships we need.
That's a mouthful. This is the guy that's shutting down the 3,000 farms under the lie of climate change. But he admits he's excited because it's really going to allow them to what? Control the food supply. Specifically with the World Economic Forum vision. Right? To handle the food problems. Well, who's created the food problems? They are. You see what they're doing? It's just a takeover. But he calls them World Economic Food Hubs around the world. Places around the world that you have to go to them to get your food. A global food distribution program in the hands of one. You know what that is? Revelation 6, open your Bibles. This is in the first half of the seven-year tribulation. No way this is by chance. Again, this is why a lot of us would say these guys are building the complete infrastructure so that when the Antichrist makes his appearance after the rapture, he's got the keys to the kingdom, including being able to distribute food around the world. And that's what we see here. Revelation 6 says this, I watched as the Lamb, Jesus, of course, opened the first of the seven seals, and then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. That's the rise of the Antichrist, the false utopia, right? But you don't call it the rise of the Antichrist, false utopia. You just call it the Great Reset. Then the Lamb opens the second seal, and I heard the second living creature say, come. And then another horse came out, a fiery red one. This rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And look, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, three quarts of barley for a day's wages. Notice it's vegetarian, it's not meat. What are they attacking? You're going to eat less meat. And do not damage the oil and the wine. Verse 7. Then the Lamb opened. Here's the outcome of all this. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And look before me, there was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades was falling close behind him. They were given power over the fourth of the earth to kill by what? Sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. You're just getting started in the first half of the seven-year tribulation, and one-fourth, nearly 2 billion people are going to die. So much for utopia. But hey, if you were a person who wanted to depopulate the planet, you'd be excited. So let's break this apart. The Antichrist kingdom starts with a false utopia. Is anybody pitching a utopia for the world? That's a lie, built on lies and deceit. Yeah, the Great Reset. And then there's going to quickly, after he makes that, there's going to and takes total control, whether you want it or not, under the guise of utopia. We've all got to do it to save the planet. What happens? A war breaks out. people. It's a brutal, horrible conflict in the Greek. I wonder why. Maybe there's people that have wised up and said, you ain't taking over my country. You ain't taking over my food supply. You ain't taking over everything. You're not going to shove me into one of these things, right? And so a war breaks out. And then the third one, what happens after that war, is it creates a famine. And a famine so bad after this global war, dare I say, of people resisting, that apparently there's already in place a global food distribution program to where you don't just get it for free. You had to what? Work for it. And you had two options. You can get a whole, you could work for these guys who are controlling the food supply. You get a quart of wheat for one person, or a less nutritional meal, barley, and again, notice it's not meat, that could feed you and your family of two. That's that. They're creating this society where you will own nothing and somehow we're going to still be happy. You will be 100% completely dependent upon these people for your subsistence, including your food. And what did they say that they're destroying the food supply to create? Shutting down the farms, doing all this other stuff. We're going to create world economic food hubs. And of course, the way it is, you have to live where they say to live. You have to work where they say to work. And you're not going to own nothing. That includes your food. But don't worry, John, you'll be happy. The world economic food hub is here to help you. Do you see how it's all coming to play? This is nuts, folks. It's all being built right before our very eyes. Okay, and this is where it's all headed. And I quote, the collapse of the global food system, they know it, this is why they're doing it, is going to lead to massive starvation and death worldwide. It is now imminent. You can't keep this up, folks. It's going to pop. Okay, and then it's going to lead to further control, and it's going to push us down this route to cry out for somebody save us. We can't take it. And here comes Mr. Fix-It, the Antichrist. I'll fix it. You can see the lead up. These guys are building the infrastructure. Unless you think they wouldn't do that with food to control people, I'm going to give you a video clip. The first one is a guy who was able to resurrect an article from the UN touting the benefits of global hunger to control people. And the second guy puts it all together. Watch this.
Saw people starting to give it to me via Twitter. And when I clicked on the link, guess what? Went a little too viral. No, no, no. Gone, gone, gone. United Nations doesn't want that bad press. But because of the Wayback Machine, okay, we're going to read the benefits of world hunger, and it's striking. We sometimes talk about hunger in the world as if it were a scourge that all of us want to see abolished, viewing it comparable with the plague or AIDS. But that naive view prevents us from coming to grips with what causes and sustains hunger. Hunger has great positive value to many people. Hunger has a great value to a minute predator class hell-bent on regimenting all human beings and exploiting them. Okay? And not, the, you know, there are different levels of exploitation. We're talking mass genocide level and normalizing that, by the way. But hey, you know what? The World Health Organization, part of the United Nations, right? They're an authoritative source. So if the World Health Organization comes out and tells you that, you know, world hunger is beneficial, it must be. Indeed, it is fundamental to the working of the world's economy. Yeah, to oppress us. Hungry people are the most productive people, especially where there is a need for manual labor. So they are telling you the psychology of a populace that will always be, what, trying to sustain just their hunger on that edge so they can exploit them for manual labor. Huh, what's going to happen when the automation comes in? Weird. I wonder what they'll do with all those people they don't need to do the manual labor anymore that they've already decided are working harder because they're not giving them food. It is mainly because people need food to survive that they work so hard, either in producing food for themselves in subsistence level production or by selling their services to others in exchange for money. How many of us would sell our services if it were not for the threat of hunger?
Why, as the Dutch government, a guy called Rutte, the prime minister, completely owned by the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, why has he just announced that the Netherlands, the second biggest exporter of food in the world, is targeting farmers to destroy them and get them off the land, which is where all these farming protests in the Netherlands have come from. At a time of food shortages and supply chain problems, you are targeting the second biggest exporter of food in the bloody world to destroy its farming base. Why are you doing that? If people depend on you for what's left of the food, you control them. Where food is abundant and cheap, you do not control them. Where energy is cheap and abundant, you do not control them. Scarcity equals dependency equals control. And that's why they're targeting the food chain, they're targeting the energy supply, they're targeting everything.
To build the infrastructure to hand over to the Antichrist, including being able to globally distribute the food just in time for the seven-year tribulation. Crazy. Now, what else do we buy besides food? Stuff, things, right? But remember, you're going to own nothing. Key word, there's nothing. Then we saw part of that is part of their goal. You'll eat less meat. And Revelation says it's a vegetarian diet that you get when you work for them, as you own nothing. But most people don't realize this. They literally want to control anything and everything you buy. You're not going to own anything. But just like they're going to control your food, how much you can or cannot eat, it's even your clothes, things you wear, everything. Maybe if you're a good citizen, they'll let you buy one piece of clothing. It won't be yours because everything is rented. This is the system they're building. It's all in play. And so is it any wonder then that they're not just attacking, controlling, and destroying the food supply for control purposes? They're doing it to everything else that we buy. And this includes the things that make those things that we buy. And as we saw, it started with what? The plandemic. What was this effect of that? It's caused 200,000 business closures. And quote, fewer than expected. So you better start doing something to crash some more. This is why it's old hat. For a long time, it's been going on since Biden got into office. GM shutting down production in most of its plants. The factories, the businesses that make the stuff that we buy outside of even food is being destroyed. World's largest toolmaker to close two of the U.S. manufacturing facilities. Quote, where have the manufacturing jobs gone as U.S. factories are closed? They're shoving them overseas and destroying ours. We won't have anything left, right? But let's take a look at this.
Footwear producer Crocs has announced that it's closing all of its manufacturing facilities and that its chief financial officer will resign.
He announcing that it will be shutting down its only furniture factory in the United States. The Swedish company will end production this December at its plant in Danville, Virginia. Operations will move to Europe, where the company says it can cut costs.
What I'd like people to know is don't think you're safe. We really thought we were in this small town. All these people have no jobs now.
For decades, battery manufacturing supported the communities of Fenimore and Portage, Wisconsin. But suddenly, last year, everything changed.
Energizer says it plans to close down its plants in Portage and Fenimore in the next year or two, affecting nearly 600 workers.
Energizer is moving its jobs here overseas to Singapore and the UK.
Bankruptcy.
A stunning fall.
Major restructuring.
Debt is piling up. Companies are filing for bankruptcy now at the fastest rate since 2020.
Bed Bath & Beyond filed this year. Party City filed. Vice Media, Instant Pot, and Pyrex. The list really goes on.
And by all counts, there's more to come. The stakes are high. Jobs are on the line.
Debt growth.
Credit crunch.
Ouch.
Debt defaults like this tend to come in cycles like in 2008.
We're in the midst of a serious financial crisis.
Or the start of the pandemic when Washington stepped in, slashing interest rates so that companies on the brink could get cheap cheap money.
We saw company after company taking on more and more debt.
All this access to debt bought companies time, but it also kicked the can down the road. Nobody knows how long the pain will last.
I do. They're going to keep it up until they crash the system. Did you notice it wasn't just the places that closed during the pandemic because they couldn't get any customers because nobody could go anywhere? It was the stimulus money that bought some time, but it created so much debt that, poof, you went belly up down the road. I'm sure that was a quinkydink. So basically, you're destroying the factories that are producing the stuff. You're shoving a lot of them overseas. And then what's that going to do? Well, now people don't have the money to buy the stuff, let alone food, because of all the layoffs, because there's no business, there's no factory, right? And then on top of that, then the stores themselves that we go, that get it from the factories that we want to buy, those are closing. And this is from last year. Retailers shuttered 4,600 stores this year. 4,600 stores in 1 year, right? Let's take a look at just some of them. Watch this.
And all these store closings mean is massive layoffs again, too. So Tuesday morning is closing all 487 stores. Now, some of them are filing bankruptcy. Some of them are just closing up their stores. Some of them are in the next month, 2 months. Some of them's by the end of 2023. Foot Locker is closing up to 420 stores. Most of you already heard about a week ago, Burger King stated that they were closing up to 400 locations. Now, the one in our town has already been closed down and tore down here recently. Bed Bath & Beyond is closing all 360 of their stores. Champs Sports is closing 125 stores. Bye Bye Baby is closing all 122 of their stores. Now, remember, as all these stores close, it's going to be mass layoffs again. Bath & Body Works is closing 50 mall stores. Harmon is closing all 50 of their stores. Shoe City is closing all 39 of their stores. Party City is closing 31 stores. Best Buy is closing up to 30 stores.
And the trend ain't stopping. That was just 23, folks. Are store closings on the rise? Here's what 2024's first 2 months say, and it rhymes with yes. They're crashing the system. Everything that we buy, food and stuff and commerce, it's all under attack because guess what? You're going to be 100% dependent upon them for anything, and that's the plan. Now, here's something interesting. China Joe. That's right, Debbie, China Joe in action. While all the factories are being closed, the stores are being shuttered, people are losing this, businesses are being shut down, they're going belly up, bankrupt, they're being shipped overseas. Guess who's not only buying up farmland, but businesses in America? China is buying up American companies fast, and quote, it's what? Freaking people out. So you're destroying the, what's going on here? It's almost like somebody's in somebody's back pocket, right? But this is going on for a while. Watch this. This is pretty wild.
New York's iconic Waldorf Astoria was purchased by a Chinese company in 2014 for nearly $2
billion. Billions of dollars flow into the U.S. from China in the form of investments every year. And in some parts of New York City, it's widespread. Chinese investments include 28 Liberty Street, Baccarat Hotel, and a stake in the General Motors building.
Bank of China agreed to pay nearly $600 million to buy this Midtown skyscraper in 2014.
A big name gaining attention for her investments is real estate mogul Zhang Xin.
She's a Chinese billionaire whose family acquired a 49% stake in this building, Park Avenue Plaza, back in 2011.
And she came together with investors to buy 40% of General Motors building in 2013. And then there's a company called H&A Group. It poured billions of dollars into properties in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Minneapolis, and more. But it's not just real estate.
In 2012, Chinese conglomerate Dolly & Wander Group purchased AMC. The $2.6 billion deal would make it the world's largest cinema chain.
Chinese investors also bought a $3.5 billion stake in Legendary Entertainment, the company behind Matt Damon's Great Wall movie. Beijing was particularly focused on China's four biggest private conglomerates, H&A Group, Anbang Insurance Group, Fosun International, and Dalian Wanda Group. Earlier I mentioned the purchase of the Waldorf Astoria in New York. That was made by Anbang, which had spent tens of billions of dollars around the world buying up high-profile properties. But in early 2018, China's government seized the company and even detained its chairman. That means China's government sort of owns the iconic New York staple. Then there's the Hainan Airlines, or HNA Group. The company began as a tiny airline in 1993, but today it's a global conglomerate, owning real estate, hotels, and tourism companies. In 2017, it was named the 170th biggest company in the world, with annual revenue of more than $50 billion. As part of its investment spree, HNA bought Radisson Hotels Group, a $6.5 billion stake in Hilton Hotels, and a stake in Deutsche Bank.
This building, 245 Park Avenue, was purchased by China's HNA Group for $2.2 billion in 2017, making it one of the priciest office building purchases in New York history.
So while all the factories and businesses of America is going down, owned by Americans, China's buying up a whole ton. Notice this also just so happens to be a lot of it is in the big cities where they want to shove everybody into your 15-minute city when the system crashes. But don't worry. You'll own nothing. And you'll be happy. Food, commerce, everything's being controlled, crashed, limited to control us so that we will cry out, government, do something. And that's the plan. But see, there's a trade-off, just like there was a trade-off with the mark. Once they get us to cry out, oh, government, fix it, because we can't live. We ain't got no food. We ain't got no clothes. We ain't got no job. They're going to ride in and say, hey, we got a plan called the Great Reset. And we're going to give you a universal basic income, UBI. We haven't even touched that one yet. And we'll make sure you have money. We'll make sure that you have food for you and your family. We'll make sure that you have a new, improved place that you'll never have to worry about those electric bills again. But there's a trade-off. We're flipping to a cashless society so the government can control all that. This is exactly, folks, what is already going on in China. And if you don't think that's coming here, this is Klaus Schwab on tape admitting China is a model for the world. Watch this on tape.
I expect China's achievements, which are tremendous over the last over 40 years. I think it's a role model for many countries. But the Chinese model is certainly a very attractive model for quite a number of countries.
One of the most oppressive, satanic, brutal regimes on the planet. And he thinks it's an attractive model for the world? What are you talking about? So again, what does this China model look like that he wants to bring to the world? It's this cashless Great Reset society. And it looks like this. This is what Biden was brought in to bring even to America. Watch this.
So, picture your life in a place where everything you do, what you buy, how you behave, is tracked. The government gives you a score, and the score is a measure of how trustworthy you are as a citizen and determines what you're allowed to do, like ever. Boarding a train, getting a mortgage, all goes back to this score. It's called social credit. It sounds like that show Black Mirror, but it's actually happening in China. So how does that change you? Does it change you? What does your life look like when your every move is watched? The system's eyes are in big data, artificial intelligence, and roughly 200 million surveillance cameras. And that's totally fine with Ouyang Haoyu. She's 21, graduated from a good school with solid grades. She's diligent. She's nice. No surprise, she's a 752. That's her rating with Sesame Credit, a private company working with the government on the algorithms for the social credit system. The scores go from 350 to 950 and are based on habits and behavior. Buy clothes or diapers, it's good. A lot of alcohol, too many video games, not so good. Haoyu's 752 puts her in model citizen range and gets her discounts and privileges, like using a shared bike without a deposit. She likes it. Her friends do too. They all have pretty high scores.
Is a mechanism like pushes you to become a better citizen, to build on the trust, especially on the Chinese market.
Because you're not going to be punished if you haven't done anything wrong.
I think that's the point. I think the system is working as a warning or an alert to push people to do it, yeah. to be a good person.
And it's mandatory. When it goes national, social credit scores will be assigned to every one of China's citizens for life. And what's weird is that so many people seem okay with it. 2014, the Communist Party called for a system to allow the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step. The model is a place called Rongcheng. It's in Shandong province. It's orderly. Streets are spotless. Cars slow down, which is unheard of in China. Words like honesty and credibility appear on propaganda posters. Display cases show pictures of Rongcheng's most honored citizens. You start with 1,000 points, and you can print out your report anytime. You lose points for things like jaywalking, littering, tossing cigarette butts, or spreading rumors. Cameras do a lot of the surveillance work, but it's pretty analog, too. Like posters that list the ways you can gain or lose points. And each night, local TV shows the surveillance highlights of the day. And then there's Zhou Aini. She's an information collector, a paid enforcer who walks around and writes down deeds about her neighbors. Like the man who carried a drunk person home. Things like this are good deeds, she said. But the farmer overheard swearing and being rude? Yeah, bad deeds. Her quota is 10 a month. She likes the work, thinks the city's better for it. So what do you do if you have bad social credit? Well, for one, you talk about it on Weibo, which is like Twitter. There are forums for discredited people to vent and get advice. In Chongqing, we hooked up with Huang Huijun. He had a business until he was sued by a client, and Huang refused to pay 90 grand to settle it. So the court put him on a social credit blacklist, and things got way worse. He explains that being blacklisted means he can't buy airplane or train tickets. When he tries, a message pops up saying he's discredited. By the end of last year, blacklisted people were blocked from booking 23 million flights and 5 million high-speed train trips. And the list goes on. Being discredited makes it hard to get a job, a loan, a hotel room, or put kids in certain schools.
Or buy and sell. This is the China model already in place that Klaus said is the model for the world. And they're going to bring it here. Did you notice that what the cameras could not catch, they had paid snitches on the ground? We would never have people in America going around snitching on their neighbors and other people because they didn't do what the government told them to do. What did we just see, folks? And we had somebody snitch on us because we didn't close our doors. And we didn't follow protocols. We went through all that. And China Joe was brought in to begin to bring it here, to crash the dollar, to become the excuse to bring it to the world. This is why 2 years ago he signed the executive order to go cashless. And there's no shortage of photos and videos of him being a puppet of Schwab for a long time. And at the very same meeting there at the World Economic Forum, China's going there too. The model for the world. And so Klaus brings Biden in for a time as this, right after the pandemic, which he admitted was the trigger, to bring it all here. You want to see our future that they're planning for us, whether we want it or not? Look to China. Mm-hmm. That's it. But you might be thinking, man, this is pretty creepy, Pastor Billy. Talk about a big downer. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go hide out in my home. I'm going to go buy some real estate as they deliberately destroy this. And that leads us to the next thing. Oh, they thought of that too. That's why Biden is also destroying real estate and property, because you ain't going to have a home to go back in. And that way it'll corral us to go into those 15-minute cities. We'll get to that, Lord willing, next time. But what's the point for you and I? Freak out, run. No. You got it right, John. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We are seeing, folks. We are seeing Bible prophecy come to life. It's been there for 2,000 years. Our generation right now, since the pandemic, we are watching these guys literally build. They call it the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, whatever. It's the Antichrist Kingdom. They're building the foundation. They're setting it all up, waiting for that guy to make his appearance and say, take the keys and run with it. The Bible's very clear. When you see that, it's a sign that our departure is near, because he cannot appear, 2 Thessalonians 2, until we disappear. Yes. Literally rise from the midst, 2 Thessalonians 2. Yes. That's why it's called the blessed hope. That's it. Our hope is not a political savior. It's the one and only savior, Jesus Christ. And so what do we do? I don't condone anything these guys are doing. They're sick. They're satanic. They're mass murderers. I do not hesitate in saying that. They're gross. But out of love and compassion, it stirs me to greater obedience. It gets rid of procrastination. It gets rid of anything that I realize there is nothing more important right now than telling as many people as I can, you need to take the way out. There's only one way out of this mess that's coming. This is not a joke. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. You need to turn to Jesus. That's how we should translate all this. Amen? Father, thank you so much for tonight. And just thank you again for just giving us so much evidence. You didn't have to, but you do. That we don't know the exact day nor the hour. And as we've prayed many times, God, I think we all know why. If you told us exactly when the departure would happen, the rapture, we'd probably goof off until the very last minute. So you don't tell us exactly when, but you love us enough to let us know when it's getting close. And that's what we're seeing tonight. It is getting close. So help us, God, to react biblically. It's never a time to be fearful, but it's always a time to be faithful. And get excited. When you come and get us, man, we leave this mess behind. We're never coming back to this garbage can. And the future that you've won for us is beyond our wildest dreams. So help us to get focused on you. Keep our mind on things above, not on this earth. And help us, God, to have a heart of compassion and tell as many people as we can, you got to receive Jesus, your Savior now. This is no joke. Don't be left behind. But as always, God, if somebody's here tonight or watching online, if they're not saved, please save them before it's too late. That's why you got them watching. That's why you got them here. You're trying to reach into their heart. You're giving them your mercy to try to save them and rescue them before it's too late. Please, God, if that's the case, save them tonight. We ask all these things in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, You guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.